All right, we are live. Highfalutin Ski Bum podcast number 54. Hello, everybody. It is your friendly, humble, and loving hosts, Mario and Brian. Mario, what's going on?
A lot's going on. We're very excited. We're actually having a good start to this springish summer non-ski, almost ski season.
Yeah, and you know, with the start of the spring summer season, we decided to do a topic today that talks about where you can just ski anywhere, anytime. So it's bring us some options if we do decide we want to ski on July 4th weekend. So we'll get into that in a little bit. If you could check us out, we really appreciate it. SkiBumPodcast.com. Check us out on Twitter, Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast. Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast. Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast. Please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher. We're everywhere. Find us. Love us. We'll love you back. But before we get started today, Mario. That's how we do it every week.
That's how we do it.
A little weekly flavor.
A little weekly flavor. So, yeah, we're starting out this week. I found a one of the beers that I've been looking at for a while that I've been searching for because somebody told me that it was out there. And I'm having a Ballast Point Pineapple Sculpin IPA. Nice. It's freaking awesome. It's an IPA with a hint of pineapple. It's definitely not a Shandy. Because they have the grapefruit sculpin, which is more like a Shandy. This is really an IPA. Very good. Loving this thing.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the grapefruit, but I haven't tried the pineapple yet. And I decided – I almost bought a case of cans today, but I decided against it. But now that you're talking about it, I'm kind of regretting it.
So you try this pineapple sculpin, you'd be like, oh, this is one you could drink all the time. It's not like – you know, Ballast – The grapefruit sculpin, you got to be in the mood for it. This one is an IPA. It's like it's a beer, but with like a little bit of hint. It's nice.
That sounds so good. Now I am drinking. So we're filming this or recording this on Saturday, June the 4th, and it's Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals, and my Pittsburgh Penguins are playing up 2-0. So I found this Mispillion River Brewing Company Black Tie, Black India Pale Ale, and it has a picture of a penguin on there wearing a tie.
Nice.
And the little tagline when I, you know, where I was going to, you know, where I picked it up from said, fear the penguin. So I was like, you know what? That seems like the right beer at the right time. So I am.
You're in the penguin state of mind now. I like that.
I've been in that. You know what? I've been loving this team all season. I watched the first couple games back in October. And seeing them play Dallas, I was like, oh, God, it's going to be a long season. Dallas is going to make it to the finals. They look great. But luckily, they made some trades. They made some adjustments. Their goalie got injured, and they brought the rookie up, Matt Murray, who's been a machine, a beast.
Yeah.
A bunch of rookies came up, Connor Sheary, Brian Rust, and they've been playing amazing. So it's been a fun team to watch. It's been a great season. So hopefully they can finish it up the next couple days.
Anybody listening from the organization, like Brian, would really love tickets to go to one of those games. Just saying. Oh,
that's right.
Just throwing it out there.
I'm an old school fan. I'm an old school Mario Lemieux fan. That was my boy back in the day when I first started playing hockey, and I've been a Pens fan ever since. So,
my parents named me after Mario Lemieux, you know.
There you go. They're like, yeah, there's this like 5-year-old hockey player.
He's going to be really good.
The future. We know this.
Maybe he was named after me. I'm just saying, you know, just throwing it out there.
You never know. His parents had a time machine. They listened to this podcast, episode number 54, got back in the time machine and said, he shall be named Mario.
That's right.
Yep. Hey, it makes perfect sense to me.
Total perfect sense. So how does that beer taste? Like, what's the flavor like?
You know what? It's got the description is perfect. It's a roasty beer, complemented by citrus and floral aromas from the hops and pairs well with formal occasions.
Oh, there you go.
It's definitely roasty, malty. It's a bit, you know, it's got a little bit of hop flavor, but it's not super hoppy like the, you know, one of the sculpins would be.
So if you're in a tuxedo, that's the beer.
It's very classy, yes. And I think my favorite thing about it is that the company's brewing, like the distillery or the brewery, is on Mullet Run Street in Milford, Delaware.
Nice.
Yes, we are pro mullet.
How many hockey players have mullets at this point in time?
You know, it's not like it used to be. There's a solid number, but it's not as ridiculous as it was in probably like the 80s or so.
In the mullet heyday, it had to be like 80-90%, right?
Oh, easily. You're either bald or had a mullet, one or the other.
Yeah, and it was prevalent in hockey in Canada, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I like the skullet when you're pretty much bald, but you have the mullet.
I think LT actually had a mullet at one time, or a semi-mullet.
He's a bad man, though.
He had like the kid and play top and then a mullet on the side or something.
I mean, you really have to be a murderer to be able to pull that look off. I'm not getting fun of.
Okay. You're sacking the quarterback, break a leg. You do whatever the hell you want.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
So we got some yummy weekly flavors. And I think we're ready to get into our ski news for the week.
Oh, it's time for ski news.
Ski news. All right, first one up. Detectives continue to search after remains found at ski resort. This is kind of a morbid topic, but detectives in Colorado are ruling out for the possibility that human remains found inside a snow boot at a ski resort belong to a man who disappeared in January. So this is
crazy.
Yeah, it's out at Eldora Mountain Resort west of Boulder. And they called the police saying there's a size 13 boot in the clearing near the base of the mountain. And they searched the area but didn't find any other remains. And yeah, they're still trying to determine if that was the 20-year-old man who went missing back in January.
You think it depends what was found in the boot. Like, was it a toe? Was it like a foot? A whole leg? Like, you wonder if like a bear ate it, right?
Yeah, they really haven't said exactly, you know, what they did find in there.
And we talk about this all the time when we're on the lift. We're like, I wonder what kind of crap they're going to find at the end of the season.
Yeah, when you have one of those, you know, seasons where you got 4, 5, 6 foot base, who knows what's living underneath there, you know?
Oh, man, it's like some wolves come out after you thaw out. They just eat you except leave the boot.
Oh, it's possible.
Oh, that's crazy.
So, yeah, it's kind of a morbid story to start the week off. So sorry about that. And, you know, hopefully we'll get some information that, you know, kind of puts closes this case out.
That's going to be our next show, CSI Colorado.
Oh, imagine that, a whole CSI series based on things found and discovered and mysteries at ski resorts. That would be kind of cool.
Oh, you do. It'd just be like a seasonal CSI, but like CSI Vail, CSI Telluride. Well, CSI
Mountain Creek.
Hey, forget about it.
So, but we found this pair of jean shorts over here. We do not know who they belong to.
It's jeans with gaiters and.
It's jeans and a New York Knicks jacket. I don't know who this belongs to.
And a gold chain.
There seems to be a lot of chest hair remaining in the chain, which could be a clue to figuring out who this is.
We're going to get the DNA from the chest hair to try to identify the body. All right, so we got that sealed up. We got CSI Mountain Creek all sealed up.
There you go.
I think what would be interesting would be CSI Jackson Hole. Like, yes, I think he went over the 40-foot cliff. Did he do that on purpose or not?
I'm going back to CSI Mountain Creek. I want to see Joe Piscopo as the lead detective.
Oh, that's right.
Could that be any more perfect?
Did he kill the guy or is he inspecting the guy? I don't know. Joe Piscopo. No. Joe Pesci would be like another investigator.
Joe Pescopo.
Pescopo. Have Joe Pesci Piscopo.
Have them both in there. Pesci, right. And Piscopo.
Oh, you get the tall guy, the short guy, the really crazy guy, the really mellow guy.
Be perfect. I like that.
Perfect. Guy's jacked, guy's not jacked.
If anybody can get us a meeting with somebody at NBC, please skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Quick us up. We'll make a pitch.
I got the outfits, a lot of leather and a lot of black. Perfect.
That's how we do it.
All right. Next up, we got a foreign investment comes to rural ski area. So Mount Snow now is getting a big investment of $52 million for an EB-5 funded business plan to upgrade snowmaking and build a new lodge which got a green light. Now, if anybody's been to Mountain Creek, they have the Corinthia area, which is great for snowboarders. They have a half pipe there. It's freaking awesome. They usually have a big event there every year, like a, you know, invitational kind of thing.
They had the X Games awesome there the one year.
Yeah. And I tell you what, yeah, we go on there. Like, we used to go on there as skiers and just, like, have a great time. It's freaking great terrain park, great bumps, great – not so much bumps, but, like, jumps and humps and stuff like that. And areas to just plow down. So it's a pretty fun area. And tons of snowboarders, like we said. It's like the snowboarder central of Mount Snow. And they're talking about building a three-story, 36,000-square-foot building as the new lodge, which it really needs because the one they have there is pretty ghetto.
It was really dumpy. I mean, it was, you know, what they have, maybe like a couple little food stalls, a couple tables, a bathroom, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, you kind of feel bad for people hanging out there all day. It's like, well, you know, if they built something really nice here, that would be cool because there's a whole parking area there too. So you don't even have to, like, you could start your day there too. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
But I guess what's bringing light to this now is with their – they got the green light. They were actually worried about it because Jay Peak, which is also in New Jersey, I'm sorry,
Vermont.
Vermont, which is also in Vermont, they had the whole Ponzi-like EB-5 projects.
The foreign investment, which is that was that, that's what that EB-5 is, yeah.
Right. So more than $200 million in investments that were they were like misappropriating in a Ponzi-like fashion. So they were taking money from the future projects and using them for current and just basically trying to get more future projects to keep it going. That's the whole Ponzi scheme. But EB-5, so I didn't realize this, like reading this article and, you know, looking at Jay Peak the last, you know, few weeks. So EB-5 is a program created in 1990 and it's administered by the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service branch. And what it does is it helps foreign investors that in exchange for a minimum of $500,000 investment, if it creates at least 10 permanent full-time jobs, the program that they're investing to, they actually get citizenship, which is,
whoa,
if you're rich, this is a way to get in. So I guess that's one of the reasons like this is getting more attention or at least like sparking more concern about like this whole misappropriation of funds. So they were actually concerned about, you know, whether or not they were going to hold up this project, but it actually went through and they were real happy because, you know, everything passed, you know, the people looking at it and that whole thing with Jay Peak just kind of scared them. It's kind of a concern for everybody because I'm sure a lot of these projects are like that too.
Yeah, the article even mentions how it's not related at all to Jay Peak. It has no connection to Jay Peak because, again, now it's got a bad look. And if people hear that term EB-5, they immediately think it's something no good, something shady.
Right. They're like, oh, is this part of that shady JP thing? It's like, no, it's Vermont. It's EB-5. It's not the same thing. But
yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
Yes, yeah, so it sounds like they're gonna have a lot. You know, they got approval for it, which is great. So it looks like this may happen over the next couple of years.
Yeah. So they're saying that. I mean, that lodge down. Whenever they build a new lodge anywhere, it's like the top lodge, you know, so that actually will be good for Mount Snow because they have like a really cool burger place at the main lodge. They have a really big lodge, a bunch of like bars with music and stuff like that. Because we Brian and I, we used to do a share house there, so we were there. That was our home.
Yeah,
home ski area. So it's really cool. I think it'll be great for Mount Snow as a mountain.
Yeah, they've been doing a nice job of slowly upgrading all the different areas. So they upgraded, the main lodge with that 1800 or 1900 burger. And they have that station tap room, which is still my favorite on ski location bar.
Yeah. So they
have dynamite beer selections. And they put that bull wheel up at the top. Remember that place?
Yes, that place was a nice place.
Great, but it was a zoo because, you know, again, it's the same, like you kind of mentioned. The new place is always the best place, and everyone wants to go to the new place, so it's always crazy.
Yeah, it was packed, and it was just totally not big enough for the number of people that wanted to go there. And then they have Cousins. Cousins is pretty cool. Like, it's a big bar. They have, like, a band, like, It's like a one man band that's always there. He's pretty good actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's good for the mountain, you know.
Yeah, it'll be cool to see the way that progresses and how that new lodge turns out. All right, next up. So here's some good news for all you folks in the Southern Hemisphere. There's been fresh snow falling all over the place. This was from Snowbrains. They were posting a bunch of pictures. So the South American ski season is just around the corner. Most major ski resorts are scheduled to open around June 20th. So in about two and a half weeks or so. But a bunch of big storms just rolled through. And the next couple days, which I think looking at the date on this article is probably happening right about now, they are due to get 80 inches of snow.
Wow.
So getting pounded. So what's that, 7 feet about?
15, yeah.
Yeah, roughly seven feet of snow are going to be plowing through. I mean, Valley Nevado, Bariloche, Las Lenas, Portillo, they're all getting hit by this snowstorm. So if, you know, you might want to, if you have the means, you might want to call out powder, say Monday, and head on down to South America because you can get some pretty sweet fresh lines, it's looking like.
I was trying to do the math of like the centimeters to inches, and I couldn't think of anything of except for how can I get down there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually opened up a browser right now. I'm looking.
they're showing pictures today on Snowbrain's website, 79 inches of snow in the past 48 hours in Portillo.
Damn.
Yeah. They're getting slaughtered down there. And it looks like one ski resort is already open down there, and I'm clicking on the link and I'm waiting. And it's going to load up any second now.
Yes, and it's going to be in Spanish. How you like that?
Damn it. It's in Spanish. No, it is not in Spanish. It looks like El Colorado is open in Chile, just outside of Santiago.
Damn.
Beautiful. Yeah, they got pounded. The 79 to 80 inches of snow they got down there. Oh, you know, this year has really been everybody got snow but us.
Pretty much, and they're still getting snow, except for us.
And they're still getting snow. And but Killington did finally just close this past Sunday. The wow. Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, yep.
That's pretty cool.
Unbelievable. And South America, if you can get down there, or if you are there already, looks like it'll be a great day to hit the mountain tomorrow.
Nice.
Love it.
All right, got to, fuel up the G5, and let's get rolling.
Yeah, I think we better do that. Do we have enough Dom Perignon and caviar for the trip?
That's the only thing that's going to hold us up. I mean, yeah. We might have to wait for another connecting flight to meet us at the airport to refuel with the equal amount of Dom or Cristal. I mean, we could always go Cristal.
But we have allocated our foie gras for the season, right?
You know what? I'm going to forego the foie gras as long as we have enough, beluga caviar.
Why can't we have both?
It can meet us out there. That's true too.
Seriously, right?
All right. So next we got Mammoth officially announced that they're going to extend the season through July 4th. So I love how they tweeted it out. They said, "Break out the red, white, and blue onesie because Mammoth Mountain will be open for skiing and snowboarding through July 4th."
That is so awesome.
So in this was Unofficial Networks, they posted that out, but they actually have some snow report totals of like depths on the mountain, and I actually just checked to make sure that they were correct and they are current. It's pretty crazy. So the base has an 18 inch base. All right, the summit has 130 inch base.
Holy crap.
And McCoy Station, which I guess is midway, so it's the base is 8,900 feet. Then McCoy Station, 9,600 feet. They have 96 inches. Yeah, so awesome. Base. I'm like, that's crazy.
That is so amazing this late in the season.
That's a ton of snow. So they're actually saying Mammoth is the highest summit, has the highest summit of any California resort. So I guess, you know, that's one of the things that helps. But
they are way further south than, you know, all the regular – Sierra Tahoe area mountains.
You know what's crazy? It says they have about 400 inches of snowfall average a year and an average of 300 days of sunshine per year.
That's so crazy.
And they call Florida a sunshine state. You know what? It's not that sunny in Florida.
California, beautiful.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's so cool on their website, too. They have, you know, the first photo in their kind of slider gallery on the homes on the top of the homepage. It says go until the 4th, and it's got a dude snowboarding with like an American flag cape and like an American flag he's holding up.
Oh, that's awesome. You get the red, white, and blue swimsuit and a fucking cape, you're done. You good.
Oh, what about like a Borat style bathing suit as an American flag?
Oh yeah, I love it.
Red, white, and blue Borat bathing suit.
Now they should do a second pond skimming. That would be great.
Oh yeah, right.
Like a second, like, you know, jam out, like with, like, you know, invite bands and shit out there and have like another pond, like a second pond skimming.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I like it. It's almost like the Stanley Cup finals of pond skimming. Because it's that
It'd be a high fluid and ski bump pond skimming.
There you go. We could sponsor that.
Sponsor that.
All right. So that about wraps up our ski news for the week. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yes, indeedly.
So now it's time to get into our main topic. So, Brian, what is our main topic?
Well, you know, like we talked about earlier, it is that spring, summertime kind of year, which can be a bummer unless you have the means to travel to South America, which we are, you know, working towards, your humble hosts here, because we want to bring you the best quality content year round.
I got to pull the trigger.
But for now, you know, we're talking about skiing anywhere. And what that usually means is that you have to turn to an indoor ski resort. And
that's right.
They're starting to get a little more prominent now. I mean, they're, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you didn't see that. But now they're starting to pop up all over the world. So we're just going to look at a couple places that have been in the news, you know, recently, and just give you guys an overview of what you can find elsewhere when you want to ski, but it's the thermometer saying it's 85 degrees and sunny.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's good, too, like, for people to learn and for kids to get out there. Especially during the summer months, it's nice for them to like flip the script and do something just totally bizarre. Because I think it broadens kids' minds, you know, especially like little kids. Like, they don't get stuck in this attitude of, oh, I can't do anything snow related in summer. Like,
that's right.
Hell yeah, you can, you know.
Goddamn right.
And one of the things that kind of sparked this for us is we were talking about it. And Brian, why don't you start off? Because there's somewhere that's right close, near, and dear to our hearts that's kind of spurred this, like just this week there was an announcement. So
yeah, right in our backyard. So we live in the New York City metro area, and the New York Jets and Giants, they play in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Weird. Yes, they play at the Meadowlands, which is a big sports complex. There's a racetrack, there's an old arena where the Devils used to play before they moved to Newark, and there's this giant mall and sports entertainment center, they were going to call it. But unfortunately, they were building it in 2008. So when the financial crisis kind of hit, this company that ran it had two big facilities, the one up at the Meadowlands and then one down in Northern Virginia. So with the financial stress of the 2008 year, they had to pick one of them to develop. So they chose the one in Northern Virginia, and this massive – terribly designed, awfully painted eyesore remained. But now that things have gotten back and starting to pick up again, that whole massive facility is starting to get built out. And they just announced recently that American Dream has teamed up with a big name in the mountain industry, the folks at Snow Operating, and they are creating what they're calling Triple Five, which Big Snow America is the official name of it, a 12-story indoor ski and snowboard park in East Rutherford.
That's awesome.
They had the ramp there. You know, it's been there for the last couple of years, and you can see it. But they're going above and beyond that. They're going to have ski chalets, an après-ski lounge, you know, big lessons, a 180,000-square-foot facility.
That's cool.
I mean, it's amazing. They're going to have retail shops, snowboarding and skiing equipment, snow tubing and indoor snow play and event space. I mean, it sounds like they're really going all out to make this a 12-month of the year indoor ski resort.
Well, I think they're realizing too, like, this is part of a soon to be mega mall, right? So this was going to be, especially in New Jersey, if anybody doesn't know, we have a lot of outlet malls. So when they originally planned,
we have a lot of assholes.
Well, that too. So it was in Jersey. If anybody doesn't know, there's no tax on clothes, like textiles. There's no tax. So that's why outlet malls are very popular, because you come into Jersey, you buy clothes, there's no tax, which is huge, especially if you're coming across the border from like New York State or Pennsylvania. Like, you buy all your clothes, nothing, you know.
Well, Pennsylvania might not have, I don't think they have sales tax on clothes, but New York definitely does, and it's pretty high.
Yeah, it's like 8%, 8.5 or something like that. It's crazy.
I think something like that, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's so close to like the New York area. That's why there's a lot of outlets in New Jersey. So the idea was, okay, this is going to be a great place, have outlets. Also for the Jets and Giants, we plan football every week. Like, you could have a place where people go and have, like, you know, tailgate, like at a restaurant, bars, things like that. Big concerts, you could have like the venue open for that. You could have shopping. There's a racetrack there. So there's a lot like in that whole complex. So that was the whole promise of it. And I just think it's really cool that people are looking at, like, hey, you know what? What's the value of having a ski and board focused like area there? And, you know, we were talking to some of our friends at like ski shops, and they were like, depending on who runs the place. So this is who owns it and who's building it. But now there's been other areas and other talk about, like, people are bidding out to try to run and manage the place. Which commonly happens because it's a big facility. And they were actually saying, like, some of the people that are bidding on it are, like, U.S. certified, you know, U.S. ski team certified, like, organizations that are, like, looking to try to run this. And that would be amazing, because not only would it be a good training facility, but now you have media where people come into New York to do, like, photo shoots and visit magazines and media and, you know, whatever. You can come out, like, 20 minutes out to the Meadowlands and actually ski and do, like, photo shoots there for like skiing and boarding, which would be freaking awesome. Yeah. So there's a lot of promise to it. I think that's what they're looking at, but it also brings the idea that, like, you can ski anytime, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah. And I love too, they're making almost like a whole ski village in the bottom of it too, you know, because I mean, think about it. Say, you know, say you're in a relationship and you're a big skier, and maybe your mate is not. So you guys maybe ski for an hour at this sort of resort, and then you can have your you know, partner, your mate, go shopping, hang out down at some of the you know, bars or restaurants in the village. You know, there's other options. So it's something that it seems like if you have people with diverse tastes in your group or your family, you can make it work for everybody.
Yeah, I also like the fact that it's there all the time. So, like, I've had, you know, I'm a single guy, and there's a lot of girls that want to get with me. Just saying.
And some guys, too.
Yeah, so guys too. But if they don't ski, I'm kind of like, you know, I ski a lot during the winter, so I'm just traveling. And if you don't ski, there's a chance that I'm not going to see you a lot. So now there's a way for, like, them to, like, you know, bone up on their skiing or boarding during the summer before the skiing starts, like the big skiing starts. It actually would be a cool way, like, for people to learn how to ski or board before the ski season starts, and then they get in the ski season like, oh, I learned how to do this during the summer. So it's kind of a nice option, you know?
Plus too, yeah, it allows you can get, you know, warmed up too early in the season, get yourself stretched out, get your muscle memory back. So maybe a big trip coming up, you can hit your big trip in December before Christmas. You could do this training a few weeks before, get yourself limber, stretched out, and back, you know, back in the flow of things. So when you get to your trip, you're ready to go.
Big air all year round. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, New Jersey, this thing, this isn't the first, like, attempt at having an indoor skier. It's actually, once you start looking into it, it's very, very popular, especially in Europe. Like, Europe has indoor, like, you know, cross-country ski areas. Like, Norway and Holland, like, they have, like, indoor, like, huge facilities that have been there for years. I mean, we're talking 10, 15, 20 years that these things have been in operation. It's just getting to the point now where it's almost like amusement theme park style of, like, hey, we have everything for skiing here, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's pretty cool. So another one that we found was Ski India. So Brian found an article. We're talking about this, and they found an article that Ski India, they just announced this week, it's a sci-fi themed indoor ski slope.
That's right. It's not just a regular indoor ski slope. It is a sci-fi themed one.
This is like the second evolution of, like, not only do we have skiing indoor, but it's a sci-fi theme. So they're saying it's something, I like how they describe it, something between Disney's Tomorrowland and a warehouse raid.
So, that's a great mix.
In New Delhi, which is totally fucked up, right?
Yeah, so, right.
They're saying ski slope, skating rink, snow play area, which is great. Think about dumping your kids off, go play in the snow in the middle of summer, especially in India where it's like 120 degrees.
Yeah, right.
A luge course and a place to experience falling snow and a frozen planet walkthrough. Isn't that crazy?
That's so awesome.
And they're saying it's going to be like, you know, $17, $18 to enter. And they're saying it like people are already like in India starting to gain like, you know, favoritism to go to some place like that. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, they get the park map and they have, they're showing all the different, you know, things they have. They have a skating rink too. They have like a luge course. Yeah, they have the obviously the ski, you know, the ski hill. And yeah, it's got all this like funky, weird sci-fi themed.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they say they keep the temperature at minus 10 to minus 15 Celsius.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's it's pretty amazing.
Well, and then the other one, like, so I researched also Ski Dubai. Now, the reason I researched that is I watched a show. It was, I think it was How It's Made or Build It Bigger, one of those on History Channel. And this was going back now like 5 or 6 years. They were actually talking when they were building this thing. It might have been longer than that. But Ski Dubai, this was the first indoor ski resort in the Middle East. And they did it very similar to the way other people have copied it. And this is like, it's just crazy. They said it's a, currently they've kept it running. They've kept upgrading it. And they said it's an interactive snow park, which is the largest indoor snow park in the world right now with 3,000 square meters of skiing boarding. And it's pretty crazy. So they said the longest run is over 400 meters with a fall of over 600, of over 60 meters. So it's a, it's the first, the world's first indoor black run.
Wow.
Which is just sick. So they're saying, you know, 22,000 square meters covered of real snow, which is like, what, 1.6 is the conversion for miles, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. So it's probably about 35,000 square feet.
That's great. That's huge. Yeah.
That's huge.
You know what's awesome? I don't know if this is just a coincidence or planned, but when I went to the Ski Dubai site, at the bottom, they have, you know, the ads kind of popping. I'm in a browser without an ad blocker right now. And it says STI test in Dubai. Reliable test. Same day results. Confidential. Convenient.
That's awesome.
I don't know who their target market is, but apparently they're getting some action.
Well, the Ski Dubai site, they actually say they have like, so they do the theme restaurants just like, you know, an après ski. So yeah. Some of the theme restaurants, they have Samaritz Cafe, Avalanche Cafe. So it's pretty neat. They have like the one is at the mid station, the other one's at the bottom. So it's like, that's pretty neat.
That's awesome.
Well, and think about it. They could do a so if they do the Meadowlands, they do a, you know, a ski demo middle of summer. I'm fucking there.
Hell's yeah. Saying. Oh, definitely.
I'm going to demo the shit out of some skis. That'd be great.
Yeah, right.
And you could demo it and buy your skis during the summer before you even get into the winter to go skiing.
You're ready to go. You've tried them out. You've practiced with them. Again, you kind of got limbered up and in shape in the summer.
Oh. And our buddy at Hino's, Ski Area in Hino's Ski Shop in Riverdale, New Jersey, or Pequannock, New Jersey.
Yeah, Pequannock.
He was actually telling us he's actually gone out to some of the ski, snow blowing, bigwigs, and they actually talk about like how they can blow snow indoor And they say, whatever kind of snow you want, if you want lumpy, wet snow, you want heavy snow, you want nice and fluffy snow, they can blow anything you want.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That's so cool.
That Ski Dubai, I remember seeing on that How It's Made or Build It Bigger, whatever that show was, they were actually showing the technology behind the scenes, and they had all the piping. And yeah, they said to cool it down because it's so freaking hot there. I mean, it's the middle of the desert. You're talking probably like in the sun, like 200 degrees in the sun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They said to cool that place down, they actually use ammonia in the piping as part of keeping it all cool. So it's really amazing, like the technology that goes into this stuff.
That's crazy. You just think, I mean, number one, you're in a desert, so obviously it's hot. Number two, there's no water there.
Yeah.
So they're working, they're doing double duty. They're pulling in water and they're pulling in, you know, whatever they have to do to cool it. So, yeah.
Well, the crazy part is it's probably because they're cooling it down like sub-zero refrigerator type of cooling it down. They're spending the money on that, but I imagine they're pretty efficient with water because if it's that cold, you're not going to lose the water. It's not going to keep melting, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder what they do with the – if they have to ever change the snow or melt it and remake it, if they, you know, reuse it somehow or they just – I just wonder what they do with it, you know, because they'll have it however they have to treat it so that they can make it. They probably can't consume it or use it afterwards if they use it for maybe watering plants or making a fountain or something.
Yeah, it depends what they blow. A lot of times when they blow with the snowblower, it's real snow, so it's just water. It's going to just go right back
into the ecosystem. Water and air,
yeah. I'm just thinking in the summertime, they can have, you know, that's going to be their peak season, right? In the wintertime, if it's a good season, like a lot of people aren't going to go there. They're going to go out and probably go. You're still going to get a good amount. But why not just freeze it down and make it crashed ice? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, there's an option. Crashed ice Dubai.
Oh, fucking awesome. Crashed ice Meadowlands. You know how many?
Yes.
That would be fucking great. Or make it into a water park in the winter and then like freeze it down in the summer.
So yeah, if they're going to have a ski resort where it's super hot, then I guess they can also have a somewhere super cold and outdoor but heated water park.
That's right.
Ipso facto.
Water park. They have a water park at JP, don't they?
They certainly do.
It might be shut down, but they have a water park, so you can like hang out in the hotel in the winter and go to the water park.
It's pretty sweet. One day it will be wet again.
That's right.
I believe.
It's a good mix of stuff.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cool indoor skiing facilities that are starting to pop up these days. So you know what? You don't have to go to South America necessarily to ski in the summertime. We're getting some new options, which is great.
I think it's going to make us more competitive. Like if you think about like these facilities, cause they're not just doing like skiing and boarding, they're doing like skating too. Right. So now you have all summer, you have this facility open for winter sports. I think it's going to make us more competitive on a global level for like developing athletes and stuff too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you can run all year long. You know, you couldn't necessarily ski and board all year long unless you had the means to travel to places where it's cold year round. So that's a good point. They'll provide a whole another time where they're able to train and get better.
Yeah. And even in the winter, right. Instead of going to Killington Mountain School or a mountain school, like on a thing, you can go to Meadowlands Mountain School.
Yeah.
Which is pretty badass. They can control that temperature perfectly. So you can do like downhill training or something, you know?
Yeah, so instead of living in the beautiful green mountains of Vermont, you can live in Secaucus.
You do bumps all day. Bumps. All day. What did you do in July? Bumps.
Garbage bumps all day in Secaucus.
And you don't even have to do the dirty bumps like in Boston with the
hell yeah, right? The giant pile.
Pile that lasted.
The dirty bumps.
Dirty bumps.
All right. So that about wraps up our topic this week. If you guys have any more information or any thoughts or ideas or you have other indoor ski places that you know about, just hit us up, skibumpodcast.com. There you can find all of our social media links, and you can also email us at skibumpodcast@gmail.com. And with that, it is everyone's favorite time of the week. That's right. It is around the horn time.
Around the horny horn. Yeah. All right, Brian, this is the first thing up is a story near and dear to your heart, man.
This is a beautiful story. It's a little bit scary too, but you know what? I'm embracing my, you know.
I'm not afraid.
I am embracing the possibility that I am in a simulation. This is all just some Advanced Races video game. Elon Musk, he believes that we are probably characters in some Advanced Civilizations video game. Now, this was a crazy, I guess a crazy, I don't know if it would, what you'd call it, a revelation, a look into Elon Musk's mind, the way he thinks and operates.
It was a mushroom trail through something. I don't even know, man. This
was, I don't know if he was taking some sort of, he ate a little cannabis before or had some peyote, but he was
so smart, it seems crazy.
And you know what? That's exactly how I explained it to someone the next day. I'm like, it's one of the things you laugh at when you hear it, and then 5 years later, when you see it becoming reality, you're like, oh, yo, yeah, I guess he was right about that.
That's right.
So he was at the Recode's annual code conference with Walt Mossberg, and he was asked the question, you know, about computer-generated entities living in a, you know, and how video games have, you know, correlated with that. And he mentioned, he's like, well, you know, Pong was 40 years ago, and it was just a simple dot that, you know, that would kind of bounce back and forth. And now you look at video games, and it's getting a little bit, it's getting almost to a point where you can't decipher between real life and the game.
Oh, it's so, real life military simulation for some of these. It's crazy.
Yeah. So what is it going to look like in 1,000 years? You know, I mean, that's sort of the way he's looking at things, very long term, you know, not exactly the myopic, what do we have right now lens. And
even the next step is the whole VR stuff, right? That's like waiting to happen very soon.
Yeah. Yeah, so his belief is that it's possible we are just characters in an Advanced Races simulation, which is kind of a crazy, insane thing to think about, and also a little terrifying, but also very liberating. You know, so maybe you don't have control of what you do. Maybe you this is just your predestined video game avatar that's doing this.
Well, it's funny. You go like, you know, I guess back to like the 20s or let's say the 50s. If you polled people, like, is there life outside of the Earth? You probably like 99% of the people are like, no, there's no way, right?
Yeah.
If you do that now, you probably get like almost like a 50-50 split.
Yeah, very true. I mean, we've advanced a lot in our thinking and our realizations and our understanding of the universe and the vastness of the universe. And it's funny because I was talking to someone at work about it, you know, the next day, and he was one of those guys like, oh, this guy's kind of nuts or crazy. And again, I said the same thing. Like right now we think he's crazy, but in a few years, this may all start, you know, taking shape and becoming a reality we all can see at this point. He's just one of those people who can see the future way before it happens, which is a very sort of unique skill. And I was like, well, if you truly believe in infinity, that means everything, every possibility that could happen is happening somewhere else in the universe. So I said to him, I'm like, in another universe, you and I are married. We're a happy couple, you know, because right. That if you believe in infinity, that's everything everything that's possible is happening at a certain time and place.
Dude, Brian, so, congratulations. You just had a baby.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. So yeah, it's one of those crazy things. So, you know, Elon Musk is kind of going on about it, and he talks a little bit more. And
well, when you look at the big picture, you start opening your mind to all this like talk and just start scatting about it. Like, you know, people thought Henry Ford was crazy. People thought Elon Musk was crazy for saying we're going to make the electric car. I remember the electric car was promised to everybody like 50 years ago, and then it never came to fruition. Elon Musk, he's talking about building like 500,000 cars a year in the next few years.
Yeah.
Which, well, you know, electric cars, which is crazy.
Yeah. And one thing he also mentioned in this statement, he said, arguably we should hope this is true. You know, that we are part of this, you know, that we are part of a simulation, because if civilization stops advancing, that may be due to some cataclysmic events that erases civilization. So we should be hopeful this is a simulation, because otherwise we're going to create simulations indistinguishable from reality, or civilization ceases to exist.
I agree with that. They talk about the, so if you talk about the jumps that we made as developing beings, right? You talk about when we went from like grunting and just barely having fire to using tools to like making a computer. Like you look at those jumps, like throughout history, like, you know, the Industrial Revolution and the computers revolutionized. We're almost ready where we're like, okay, if you look at the like every 50 years or so, we've made these big jumps. Like, what's the next big jump?
Yeah, very true. And, you know, we think, again, very myopically, we think about our lifetime or the next year or 2 years. When you look at human civilization over time, this little like 1,000-year blocks are just tiny, tiny little blips in human nature. So, yeah, I mean, what are humans even going to look like in 1,000 years? You know,
with a little piece on the end of the whole chicken, that little ass, that's us. That's all we've lived.
That's possible. Yes. Well, I mean, think about it too. If we keep getting this more technologically advanced, are we going to have, you know, will we be able to replace different parts of our bodies? We're going to be able to have, you know, computer robotic pieces, you know, that we can replace. How long are we going to live? You know, there's so many things that could happen and change that we've already seen the basis for, you know, like plastic surgery and all that is kind of like the tip of the iceberg of how humans are going to transform in the future.
And honestly, if you look at high tech right now, they can clone an ear to put back on you. They can make you a prosthetic that looks the same. They can make you a prosthetic that you can run the Olympics. You know, of course you might like kill your girlfriend after, but you can actually have a prosthetic to like do everything. Like, and it's incredible. Like these leaps in science are just waiting because they're not being broadly expanded because they're like in test mode right now. Like, and there's political stuff behind it and things holding it up, but that's waiting. That's going to be the next norm. You know what I mean? Like we've seen it like now, like with the research on cancer. Like there's other stuff that's coming out that's like in test right now that might make things a lot more manageable for cancer, or, you know, instead of it being a death sentence, now it's a diagnosis versus, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, in the same kind of, you know, area, there's certain companies now that are 3D printing organs.
Oh, it's crazy.
I think Organigram is one of the companies. There's one lady who had a bladder 3D printed. I mean, that's where we're moving towards. You know, that's what the future is. I mean, imagine if you could just, you know, you had a, you know, I don't know, maybe you had a broken foot. You know, again, this is actually a terrible example. You could 3D print a new foot, you know, and just attach it somehow. You know, like that's may sound a little bit crazy now, but that's a very distinct possibility in 50 to 100 years.
Well, that's why some of the argument is like, you know, there's a lot of the stuff that would be more readily available to more people. More, you know, it's just like now, but it's gummed up in like government works. And a lot of it is, you know, they want to make sure it's safe. There's politics involved. There's a lot of other stuff involved, but at least it's getting some traction, like the development of it, because there's a lot of different fronts now instead of like, you know, a few big pharmaceuticals or biomedical companies working
on it. Biotech companies, yeah.
Biotech. There's a lot more little biotech companies that are working on this, which is very good to see. So it's just, I don't know. I think it's a really cool time. And I you know, I like where he's going with it. It's just, it makes you think, you know?
Yeah. One big thing you're going to see too is, you know, because of all these regulatory and FDA, you know, rules of engagement and, you know, I don't know if you want to call them roadblocks, but, you know, safety measures, I think you're going to see a lot more development happening overseas, all over the world, you know, with a lot of these countries, you know, having this, you know, having less barriers to entry and less rules and regulations. Yeah, things may be like Island of Dr. Moreau in certain places, but I think a lot of that innovation is going to be coming from there because of the lack of rules and regulations.
Yeah, and also as more like new high-tech things get accepted, then that's where things really jump ahead. You know what I mean? Like, because right now it's like, oh, you know, there's 10 things that need to be there for you to be able to do this other high-tech evolutionary like science.
Yeah.
And until it's accepted, it's not going to be possible to make that really big leap. So I think that's on the horizon. I think we're probably like 5 or 10 years away from some giant leap. I mean, already, like, they're saying they have a treatment for AIDS, right? Then you're talking about, like, treatments for cancer. There's a lot of treatments for cancer. There's prosthetics. There's, like, all these developments. I mean, there's even different ways we treat our kids that get diagnosed with autism or Down syndrome or other diseases, which are totally different than years ago how we used to deal with them, you know?
Yeah, we're 3D printing organs. Imagine that, like, you're like, oh, you know what? I need a new gallbladder.
That's crazy.
I'm going to print one out. I'm going to pay for it in Bitcoin. I'm going to print out the materials, and then I'm going to somehow, I don't know how you're going to install it or put it in.
Dude, they cloned a sheep, man. That's crazy.
That was so long ago, too.
Think about how long ago. It was like 15 years ago, right?
That was probably in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah. Think of how much of the cloning crap that they always told us about.
Yeah, that's the thing. What have they not told us about? And, well, they're starting to, I guess they're looking to clone, I don't know if clone's the right word, but create these artificial, cattle and pigs and animals that we would eat without brains. So they don't have an existence. They don't have an understanding of what's happening to them. So it's like more guilt-free for us.
All right. So a great movie to see is The Island. You ever see that movie?
No, I think you've told me about it like multiple times.
Got to see it. It's great. And not only is it great, but it has
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson in a leotard. It's freaking awesome.
Oh,
She looks hot in it. But it's a great. It's actually two movies in one. Like the first part of the movie is like almost like its own movie, and you're like, oh wow, that's pretty neat. These people live it, and then it gets all real. It's like, wow, holy crap,
nice.
It's a cloning based thing. I mean, I think it brings to light like what would happen with humans, you know.
Yeah. Oh, so that got a little bit heavy there, huh? That was deep.
Whew. I opened up another sculpin while we were waiting.
I heard you going to the fridge, yeah.
I know. I wasn't very quiet going to the fridge. I just, you know, had to kick things around.
Yeah.
All right, let's get in a little lighter on things. So there's this product now, Fluid Stance, The Level. Outside Magazine had it on there. And what they're talking about is it's funny. I've actually seen a lot of shows where they have like the treadmill desk and like a little walking or standing desk. But this is talking about, you know, standing desks are old news. And now they're saying surfing desks are the rage right now. So if you're going writing, surfing desk is the way to go.
Surfing desk is the way to go. I like that.
That's right. So they're saying what it is, it's a 26.5 by 12.2 inch uneven board made out of military grade aluminium, the British term, and wood designed for you to stand on. So they're saying what it does is it equates the motion, like keeping your body in motion while you're at a desk. They're saying what this will do is it'll equate to a 15% increase in your heartbeat as you balance the level. And just in general, keep you like in much better shape. So they showed it. And the funny thing is, so Brian, you and I were out in Burlington this year for our Ski Bum Week.
Yes, we were.
Hashtag Ski Bum Week. And when we were there, we went to a ski shop and they had one of these balance boards. And it's basically a ball with like a board on it. It's very similar to this Fluid Stance. And the idea is you stand on it and you balance on it. And it's really cool for like core strengthening and legs and everything. I almost broke my ass like 20 times that thing out. It was awesome.
Yeah, like, I guess the big thing is what it works your – I mean, I guess core and legs are the most worked areas of your body, right, to stay balanced.
Yeah, it's just your overall balance, which is just great for you.
But I think this one too. This one isn't quite as extreme as the ones you were on up in Burlington. This one's a little. This one's it's not as rockered as much. I guess the pivot point isn't quite as large, so it doesn't take as much energy and concentration to stay balanced on it.
It's more of a fixed pivot point, right?
Yeah, it's just enough to let your body know you're doing something, but not enough to ruin your concentration.
Right. What we were trying was like it's basically a board on a ball and you're trying to balance on it. It's basically set up to break your ass. This thing's more of a fixed point on a board, which is really actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. And again, it's the treadmill desk, that's kind of a big investment. This one, it's not super cheap, but it's enough that you can, pick one up for a couple hundred bucks and it looks really cool. and you can get that little extra, you know, workout, a little momentum or a little endorphin rush while working.
Almost like a pad that you could stand on while standing at one of those standing desks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's kind of like a, it's like a compliment to standing desk, because the standing desks are great because you get up. I mean, it's not good to sit down in that position. It tenses up all your, especially if you're an athlete or you like to stay active. It's just not good for, like, you know, your whole, you know, your hips, your quad, like all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Just sit.
Very true. So that's a cool new product. So we'll have that on the show notes if you want to check it out and see the link to it. And if the good folks who run the company want to send us a demo, we'd be happy to check it out and give you some feedback.
I think I'm going to write to him tonight.
Fluid Stance, what's up?
What's up, Fluid Stance?
Yeah, we love you guys.
Their boards are actually, if you go to their site, they actually have some really cool looking standing boards.
What about if they had a pair of skis that we could keep at our desk?
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
Instead of standing on a board, stand on a pair of, like,
snowblades?
Snowblades? Oh.
Maybe that's what snowblades are meant to be.
I like that.
Maybe we're meant to wear snowblades at our desk to increase our balance and our endorphin rush.
And what do you do at lunch? Go skiing at the Meadowlands.
Why not?
Boom.
I like it. Not bad. All right. Next up. So this is a crazy story that came out of good old Florida. So there's a gigantic video of a gigantic alligator on a Florida golf course.
And that thing's huge.
It's monstrous. And you look at it and you're like, could this possibly be real? I mean, it looks like Jurassic Park, the way the stupid thing is going across the golf course. And
I someone it was actually fake, did. But I saw on like a ton of different news sites. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I went on to Snopes and they said it's actually true. And they've got another, like, an alternate angle of the, you know, video of the gator to prove that it's, you know, to prove that it is actually, that's the real size of it.
I saw it on the evening news. It was pretty messed up. I was like, what?
Oh my God, the thing is just huge. They're saying that the largest alligator ever officially recorded in Florida is 17 feet and 5 inches. This thing, I mean, this has got to be, what, that, around that size, maybe bigger?
I heard people saying it's around 10 or 11 feet. I mean, it's gigantic. And the messed up part is when it stands up, it's like a coffee table walking. It's like, it's not like a little, you know, thing just wiggling. Like, you see these alligators just kind of like barely with the little legs and all. This thing is up.
Yeah.
Scary. Pretty scary. Oh,
yeah, it's massive. You got to watch the video. It's just so creepy. Just the way it moved. It's such a prehistoric monster that it just, it hasn't needed to evolve. It hasn't changed. It's just the exact same paleo, what would you call it? Or Mesozoic era monster that it was.
Dude, this hits me right home because, like, so my family lives in Florida, right? So I go down there all the time.
Florida.
And I've been on a golf course and people have said, oh, there's an alligator in that water trap. Don't go near there. If your ball goes in, just, you know, drop another ball. And I'm like, yeah, you don't have to tell me twice. I'm not going near. And I've been putting on a green and all of a sudden I hear a flash of, like, you know, the water or whatever. And the bird that was standing on the edge of the water is in the alligator's mouth.
Just gone.
Like, I've been watching. I've been there and I've been like, holy crap, that thing ate the bird. And I'm like, I guess that's life in Florida. I just keep playing on, you know?
Life in the hood, yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. And then I was just down there like 3 weeks ago. And my mom lives on like a little pond. It's kind of a lake / like retention area. And they have a little alligator in there. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Like, everybody's, like, all fascinated. Like, oh, but if they get over, like, 3 feet, they relocate them because of, like, then they start, like, eating bigger stuff. Like, instead of small dogs
and cats, yeah.
Well, no, they'll eat small dogs and cats, like, even when they're, like, 3 feet. But they're like, well, then they'll start attacking people, like, because that's, like, a meal for them, you know. Yeah. So they actually relocate them, or I don't know what they do with them. But the EPA comes out and they do something, like animal control.
Yeah. Ugh. On another story that's kind of similar to that one, there was authorities in South Florida investigating two alligators discovered devouring a dead body on the edge of the Everglades.
Oh.
How nasty is that? Yeah, they said about 15 miles south of Fort Lauderdale, they found two gators just eating the remains of a person. And they're trying to figure out now, is it suicide? Could it be homicide? Was it just a fisherman that, you know, had some bad luck?
You got to dump a body, go to Everglades.
Oh, seriously, right? I mean.
Oh. So around my parents, they live around Newport Richey, and a girl went missing. This was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, she went missing. People looking for her. And they actually figured out that, like, she got eaten by an alligator because I guess they found some of her remains in the belly of the alligator or some evidence or whatever. But she was out for a run in the morning and got eaten by an alligator.
Because she just didn't run fast enough, huh?
Well, people don't realize. Like, some people are like, oh, let's go close to the edge to look at the alligator. They have, like, a speed burst. They go, like, 30 miles an hour for about 12 or 15 feet. So what they do is, they will sink down low, and then they just pop up. Their eyes just pop up. So they swim under the water, and then their eyes just pop up, and they're very still. And that's how they sneak up on prey. And what people don't realize, like, if that thing is, like, on the edge, and you walk up to the edge, now you're in range. You're in that 15, 20-foot range that it can do a speed burst out of the water at 30 miles an hour and try to catch your ass.
Oh, God, that's terrifying.
And once it grabs you, it just holds on and just – drags you in, drowns you, and then just eats you. It's crazy.
If they can get you in the water, that's where you're in the most trouble, because when they get into that whole death roll thing. You know, when you're on land, you got a shot. You can maybe get away. But if you're
30 miles an hour, dude, that's fast.
That is brisk. But if you're in the water, just forget it. You're pretty much done from Jump Street.
Oh, man. So I always get freaked out when I'm down there because, like, I like to stay out late. I go, like, I get entertained. I go hang out. I go visit friends. And I come back pretty late. I'm a little pretty gazied out, you know, a little tip back a few. And, you know, I always wonder, like, you know, if I'm not paying attention and I get out of my car, maybe there's an alligator hanging out on the front porch.
You got gated.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
It's definitely a possibility there.
Yeah. Or sometimes, like, my mom says, like, oh, yeah, there's a gator, and it suns itself on the driveway in the morning. So you got to watch out. Be careful. And they're all happy, like, oh, yeah, I have the gator. It's like a blessing to have the gator around. I'm like, dude, that scares the crap out of me.
Nope. No, thank you. Baby gators only become giant gators. That's all they become.
I like looking at them, but from a distance.
Yeah.
I don't want anything bad to happen to the gator, but I just don't want them near me.
What about an indoor ski resort in Florida that has gators on it?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
This is how we learn.
That's right. You know, indoor with bobcats running around.
Oh, there you go.
You learn how to ski fast, real fast.
Yeah, right.
You just jump on you and just start gnawing you. And then you get to the bottom. You think you're safe? Gators come out.
Gators. That's like the X Games. That'll be like the new – like the Animal Planet X Games.
UFC Animal Planet X Games. X Games.
I think if they got to start, you know, putting together different networks, I think that's some synergy right there.
I think we call it the F Games. You got F'd.
The F Games, yeah.
The F Games, man. That dude got killed.
Did you watch the F Games? Did you think I got eaten by the bobcat? Ridiculous.
Dude was going 70 miles downhill, and the bobcat caught his ass on the turn. That'd be awesome. That'd be freaking great. Or he's like, he's celebrating at the end and gets like taken out by like a bear. Like the Revenant.
Oh my God, yeah.
Whatever's like popular in pop culture is just like freaking bears now. Bears everywhere. Just, you know, Kodiak bears on the goddamn mountain. That'd be crazy.
All right, we got one more story left. And Mario, this is all you. This is your find.
All right. So I checked this from several different sources. And what there was a boozed up Brit slathered himself in sunscreen. He slides 40 feet on a video that got posted across concrete on his belly on a painful holiday stunt.
Oh, so yeah, let's set the stage for this. So it's pretty much at a hotel in Spain. You know, it's at the pool at the hotel. And you know how, you know, the decks in all these hotel areas, it's all just, you know, concrete for, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 feet. And they have all the chairs set up there right by the pool. They kind of moved the chairs out of the way and gave this guy a lane going right to the pool. And you see him take just a running start in just his bathing suit and just slide all the way into the pool.
It's awesome. It is fantastic. So horrible, but awesome.
Yeah.
You just got to watch it. So the dude, I guess he's... and people are like, oh my God, the horror. And then people jumping in after, like he gets into the pool, like, oh, are you okay? He's probably bleeding everywhere. Oh my God.
Gotta be.
He definitely makes some distance on that. 40 feet is about right. Now, I don't know if, so the mum, which is the mum of three, looked on as in horror as the lad, egged on by his pals, hobbled out of the pool with his belly and arms and knees bleeding.
Oh.
So now she looks pretty hot. So I don't know if she posted this because she wants like followers, but all I know is this is freaking gold. If she wants like time for this, whatever, it's still gold that she posted it because it's great.
Yeah, it's she was just in her, I guess, in her hotel room on the balcony filming it. I don't know if it was good timing or if she's like a creeper or stalking some guy or something. But she was in the right place at the right time, I guess, for that video.
If there's one thing that Brian and I learned from Ischgl, Austria, was you get a bunch of British people together and they will do crazy shit like this all day.
Yes, they will.
All freaking day. And it's gold. I tell you, it's awesome. I just wonder, like, spring break this year, I want to see if this is, like, the new hot thing to do.
I hope this becomes a thing. It's like a slip and slide without the slip and slide.
Oh, my God. It's on freaking concrete. Like, yeah, just put more sunscreen. You'll be good. We got sunscreen. You'll be cool.
Come on, mate. Don't be a poof.
Come on. <that's>
You're not a poof, right?
You're not a poof. Don't be a tosser.
I can't believe he bloody did it.
He bloody did it. He's out at the bar like, look at me. Look at me.
He is one right thick cunt.
Damn. I got to say, he. I want to find out more about this guy and if his buddies bought him like beers or something like that.
Well, obviously they bought him that 37 beers before he did that because there's no way you're doing that sober. There's no way.
And some kind of lube sunscreen that he thought was good.
Hopefully it was like Teflon or something.
Holy shit, dude. He really went like, I'm looking at like the close up of it and I'm looking like, okay, there's like the edge of the pool, right? Which is probably like 10 feet away is where they set up like chairs, right? And then you got a set of four chairs and a table. That's got to take up about what? 7-8 feet.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you got another set. So now you're talking about sets like that over and over. There's got to be at least four sets where he started to slide. And then where he went into the pool, plus the edge. So that's probably about like 10, that's probably like almost 50 feet. He went gliding.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, we can talk about it all day, but you really just have to see this video to appreciate the lunacy of this bloke. It's fantastic.
Oh my God. And the worst part is you like cringe. And he's still midway. Like, he has another half to go.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely cannot condone his actions. And we cannot condone any of you folks doing that. But if you do end up doing it, please do post it on YouTube and tag us and let us know. Because we'd be happy to talk about it. And we'd be happy to watch it and revel in your extreme manliness or ladiness, if so be the case.
If we get tagged, I'm going to watch it over and over.
Yes, you will definitely get a shout out on the next podcast.
Awesome. That's freaking awesome.
All right, so I guess that about wraps it up for the week, eh?
I think it does. I think there's a little hockey game that you're missing.
Oh, no, I'm not missing it. I assure you, it's 1-1 right now in the first period.
1-1?
1-1, yeah. Penguins struck first, and then the Sharks responded. But we shall see how this goes. It's been quite a game so far.
And we're going to do a little moment of silence later for Muhammad Ali.
Later, better do it now because the podcast is going to end.
I'm saying that's I'll do that in private. He's great. Love Muhammad Ali.
One of the all-time greats, man. He changed everything.
So, and then we have a little UFC later on today.
Yeah, UFC is coming up in about an hour. The pay-per-view. So
we're gonna round up and watch that.
Yes. So rest in peace, Muhammad Ali. You're one of the greats, and there'll never be anyone like him ever again. He changed the game.
He's the man.
So thank you guys so much for listening. We really, really, really appreciate it. Please go and check us out on iTunes, on Stitcher, subscribe, rate us, and check us out on our website, seabumpodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all there on the website. You know how to find it. You know how to find us. And thank you again so much for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Stay high, stay polluted.
See ya. Go Pens.
Peace.